Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're here every weekday at this time to talk things over with you. And to do that, we want to know what's on your mind today. Is it a Bible passage, maybe an issue with a family member, or at school, at work, or someplace like that? Well, whatever the question or the circumstance, we'd like to hear from you, and we'll talk about it on this edition of Basic Gospel. The phone lines are open at 844-322-2742 in the U.S. and Canada, and we invite you to call right now. Again, that's 844-322-2742. Whatever the issue, whatever the question, call now. 844-322-2742, because it's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob, and we would love to hear from our listeners today, so go ahead and pick up that phone and dial this number, 844-322-2742. Bob, this week we've been talking about religion and all the things religion can't give us or can't do for us. We put a lot of stock in our religious practices. We do them faithfully. And yet at the end of the day, we're still empty. We're still lacking what we thought those religious practices would bring us. For example, on Monday, we talked about rest, spiritual rest. Jesus had this to say, this invitation. I think it's one of the most compelling invitations that's ever been extended. And it was recorded for us in Matthew 11. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Well, religion makes you weary and heavy laden.
Yeah.
It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's Christ himself who will give you rest, rest for your souls. Yesterday, Andrew talked about the fact that religion can't bring about forgiveness. All the things that we engage in, trying to beg and plead God to forgive us, just won't work. Why? Because only the shed blood of Jesus can bring about forgiveness. As the writer of Hebrews says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Today, we're going to look at the fact that religion can't cleanse our consciences, can't make us clean on the inside. Now, Jesus had some very scathing words to say to the Pharisees in chapter 23 of the book of Matthew. It's just one of those chapters just filled with bombshells from Jesus on the religious world. And he says this, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, that the outside may also be clean." So they were dependent upon their external rituals, the washing of hands, the purification baths, all of those things prescribed in the law. They were dependent upon those external activities to cleanse them. But Jesus made this point very clear. You're clean. You may be clean on the outside, but inside you're as filthy bones, as just dry, dead bones. There's nothing there. Well, that's what religion is going to do. It's going to make us look good on the outside, but it's going to do nothing to these hearts of ours. Only the grace of God can cleanse our hearts and to make them new. And that's what we have to recognize. So if we want a clean heart, if we want a clean conscience before God, if we want to have the confidence to serve him in a new and living way, then we have to trust the blood of Jesus Christ. As John said in his first letter, if we are in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus cleanses us and keeps on cleansing us of every sin imaginable. So only the blood of Jesus can cleanse us. Now, also in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 9, it talks about the fact that we now have a cleansed conscience. So in verse 14 or 13 of chapter 9, the writer says this, "For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, the cleansing of the outside, how much more?" So there was blood that was sprinkled in the Old Testament. It was the blood of bulls and goats. It was the ashes of of the heifer, all of those were looked at as purification agents, and they were only effective as far as the outside, the cleansing of the flesh, was concerned. And so the writer of Hebrews compares that and says, how much more will the blood of Jesus, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify or cleanse our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So if we're stuck in religion, the writer of Hebrews says those are dead works, and through those dead works, you're not going to be serving the living God. Only with a clean conscience can you do that, and only the blood of Jesus is going to cleanse that conscience once and for all. That's good news. So if you're looking for a clean conscience, you're not going to find it through religious practices. Nope. Let that go. Those may have an appearance of wisdom, but at the end of the day, you're still going to be struggling with a conscience that you see as dirty and defiled. If you want it cleansed, rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. His blood purifies you from those dead works, from those religious works, so that you can serve the living God through the very Spirit of God who comes to live inside of you.
Indeed. Thanks, Bob, for those thoughts. It is Basic Gospel, everybody, with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you've joined us today. We have an open line for you to really join us at 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you and allow you to pose your question, whatever the situation might be, Bible question maybe. Like you to do it on today's edition of Basic Gospel. Again, that number, 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and Canada. And friends, we're only 8 days away from the start of the United Bible Conference with Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley. And needless to say, friends, we want you to be there. That's the reason we're presenting the conference. It's for you. We want you to come and hear and see and meet two of the finest grace teachers of our time, Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley. We hope you'll log on today to basicgospel.net/united and get registered if you haven't done so already. Again, that's basicgospel.net/united. Again, it is Basic Gospel. We have open lines at 844-322-2742, and we want to hear from you on this edition.
Yes, we do. Well, let's go to our phone lines and talk with Clay, listening to us down in Thorndale, Texas. Clay, you're on Basic Gospel Radio.
Hey, Clay.
Okay. I wanted to say, get your opinion on something about, I consider it religious dead works, when these professional beggars get up in the pulpit and tell you that you're going to be blessed if you tithe and condemned if you don't tithe. One of them after the service said to me, I told him, well, I don't tithe. And he said, well, you're going to stand in a works judgment of that. Mm. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll stand before God in a works judgment and say I didn't tithe, but you're going to stand in a works judgment and say that you collected the tithe, and in doing so, denied the new covenant and a new high priest, Jesus Christ.
Very well said, Clay. Yeah. I mean, his statement about you're going to be judged really smacks at all of those passages of the New Testament that say that there's no judgment for the believer. That our judgment took place at the cross. So, for example, Romans 8:1, therefore, those who are in Christ, there's no condemnation. So that's pretty clear. That's pretty black and white. If you are in Christ, there is no condemnation. Your sins were judged at the cross. The Spirit of life has set you free from the law of sin and death. And so you're brand new. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus, and for you there is no condemnation. So we have to believe the finished work of Jesus Christ, and that's what ushers us into this new covenant of grace. And once we're there, then we can allow the Spirit of God to renew our minds and direct our activities based on the love of God. So when it comes to giving, when it comes to sharing our resources, when it comes to offering our time, then that's going to be a reflection of God's work in us, not a obligation to meet a requirement or to fulfill a law. So We serve in the newness of the Spirit. That's the new way of living. Let's allow the Spirit of God to do his work in and through us in every area of life. So it's in this new covenant, it is by grace through faith as far as salvation is concerned. In this new covenant, it is by grace through faith as far as giving is concerned. That's the good news.
That's the good news. Clay, thanks for the question. Good to hear from you, brother. 844-322-2742. And Bob, sometimes as I close the broadcast, I will remind our friends that the listener line is open, and we would love to hear from them overnight. Well, somebody did call overnight. Let's see what he said.
Yes, my question is, was Jesus put to death on a crucifix-style cross or on a tree? Because there's a few scriptures about cursed is he who hangs on a tree. Thank you very much. Bye.
Well, it does say in the Old Testament, specifically in the book of Deuteronomy, that cursed is anyone that is hanged on a tree. And they would have been hanged on a tree because they had violated a law, and that their violation was punishable by death. And they also said that if that was the case, that the body must be taken off the tree before nightfall. So we see all of that happening with Jesus Christ. Now, the tree that he was hung on was a Roman cross. And the reason we can say that it was a tree is because the wood was cut from a tree.
Yeah.
So it wasn't an aluminum post. It wasn't an iron post. It wasn't any of those things. It was a wooden cross, probably a primitive cross that they nailed him to. They hung that body on a cross, and they suspended his body between heaven and earth, and he died on that tree. Well, he took the curse of the law upon himself so that we could be set free from that curse. And when we come to Christ by faith and believe that he died for our sins in accordance with Scripture, and believe that he was buried, and believe that he was raised from the dead on the third day in accordance with Scripture, we call upon the name of the Lord, then we're saved. And we go free from the curse of the law of sin and death. So as we were just talking a few minutes ago, we have been set free from the law of sin and death by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's good news. Mm-hmm. So Christ became a curse for us. He bore our sins in his body. He died on a tree, on that Roman cross.
Yeah.
So that's what the Scripture is referencing.
Absolutely. Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. Glad you're with us. We would love for you to come in and be a part of this edition. If you have a question that you'd like to pose, 844-322-2742 is the number to dial in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742.
Well, Jennifer is watching us on YouTube. She has this question. Regarding Jesus' baptism, what does it mean that he did it to fulfill all righteousness? That's a great question. And you know, lots of times we think, well, we have to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, and that's to fulfill all righteousness for us. But as far as Jesus is concerned, this was a fulfillment of what God was sending him in the world to do. So all throughout the Old Testament, we see prophecies about the coming Messiah.
Yeah.
And John the Baptist had the privilege of introducing Jesus to Israel as their Messiah. So he went out every day knowing that one day Jesus would come to him and he would have that opportunity to baptize him, to immerse him down in the waters, and to lift him up out of the waters. And when he did, God's voice was heard, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased," and the dove descended upon him. So we see the Trinity right there, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But those were the identifying marks that this Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, was indeed their Messiah. So when John the Baptist said to him, hey, you should be baptizing me, Jesus said, no, this was to fulfill all righteousness, to fulfill the faithfulness of God's promise to his people, so that John the Baptist could be the forerunner, pointing people to Jesus Christ, preparing the way, and then being the very one to introduce Jesus to Israel as their blessed Messiah.
Yeah. Well, again, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. And, Bob, we had this question from Jason. He says, what is your opinion on seminary school? Is it worth it? Is it necessary? I'm not sure I want to be a preacher, but I am interested in having a lot of knowledge about the Bible. Is seminary more focused on preaching? What should I be looking at if I want to really know just a ton about God?
Well, what you should be looking at is the Word of God, is the Bible itself. God has given a testimony there about himself, and specifically as revealed to us in Jesus. So the Bible really is God's testimony concerning his Son. So we read the Bible in order to know the author. So if you're going to know anything about God, there's the source.
Yeah.
So stick to the Bible. Read it. Read big chunks of it. Read it knowing that this is God's testimony concerning his Son. Read it expecting God to reveal to you truth about Jesus Christ. Read it knowing that you have a teacher living inside of you, the Holy Spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit's job to take the things of the Lord Jesus, to take the things that God has freely given to us through Christ, and make them known to us. So you have the source book, the Bible. You have the theme of the Bible, which is Jesus Christ. So you're reading it to get to know him. And you have a teacher, the Holy Spirit himself. So that's where you start. And you're going to get to know a lot about Jesus and a lot about God in just from that.
Yeah.
There are many people who go to seminary who study the Bible academically, and they gain a lot of insight into the types of literature that are used in the Bible and, you know, what the words say, but they come away not sure what these words mean, and they don't have any more knowledge about God than when they started. So we have to realize that any knowledge about God that we have is knowledge that's been revealed to us by God himself through the Spirit. And the Spirit is always going to reveal the true knowledge of God by pointing us to Jesus Christ. So I would say, start a Bible study regimen. Just start reading through the New Testament. I would start with the book of John and just read big chunks of it. And you're going to see a picture of Jesus starting to emerge based on the things he claimed about himself, based on the miracles that he performed, based on just all the different aspects of Jesus's life. And you're going to come away with that knowing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that in Jesus is eternal life. And if you've never received Jesus, I would encourage you to do so, to open up your heart and to recognize that he is the one who died for your sins. He is the one who was raised from the dead so that you could have everlasting life. And when you receive everlasting life, then realize that it's not talking about longevity. It's not talking about how long you're going to live. It's talking about a quality of life. And Jesus defined that for us, that eternal life is this, that we know God and the one whom he sent, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's what eternal life is, knowing God, knowing him personally, knowing him intimately, knowing him from the heart. And we are able to do so when we're born again of the Spirit of God. So if you're wanting to know God, just dive into the Word of God. Trust God's Spirit to teach you truth, to teach you the meaning. And I think you're going to grow in grace and you're going to grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to sharpen up your study skills and maybe gain some more tools on how to go into the Word of God. You may want to take some Bible classes at a Bible college. If you want to be involved in some type of full-time vocational ministry, if you wanted to be a pastor, it might be advantageous to go to seminary. I think a seminary degree, many churches are looking for people that have seminary degrees. They're going to write you off if you don't. So it just would be a piece of paper that would open the door. It's not necessarily going to increase your knowledge of God. Mm-hmm. So know where the true knowledge of God comes from. He reveals it to you.
Yeah.
That's the only way to get it. And he wants to reveal it to you. He sent the Spirit to live inside of you, to be your teacher. Trust your teacher to reveal to you everything that God has given you in the person of Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed.
Well, let's go to Hutchinson, Kansas, and talk with Tracy. Hi, Tracy.
Hey, Bob. How you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you, my friend?
Really good. I was just reading Matthew 7, about where he's talking about his true disciples. And again, it basically says it's not about people's works is what he's describing. Since people are all about the works, they're not going to be saved. I look at the passage because it says not everyone who calls out to me Lord, Lord will be saved. And something weird come to me. It almost sounds like he put this in there for people who are all about works, but he also put it in there for the three designated to go to eternal death, to not escape. So they cannot come to him on the last day and say, Lord, Lord, can you save me? It will be, no, you are going where you are going, and that's why I said that, if that makes any sense.
Well, I mean,
it's almost like this is a thing to shut them out, too. So it wouldn't be, you know, last second, oh, you know, it's already sealed and done. So he sealed and done it with this thing, saying this is how it is. It's not going to change. It's like almost a final statement, so to say.
Yeah. Well, death is when that finality hits, you know, whatever, if you've rejected Christ and die, then you're going to remain dead spiritually.
Yeah.
If you've been made alive, and that can happen at the very last moment. There are certainly deathbed conversions that are legitimate, that are authentic, that are real. And God says today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. So salvation can happen at any moment in time in a person's life. What Jesus was talking about here as far as these false prophets, those who say, Lord, Lord, and he says, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. They were trusting in their own works. They were saying, look what I did. Look how I cast out demons. Look at the mighty works that I did. And so they were relying upon those things as a means to gain righteousness and to gain eternal life. And we know there's only one way to be saved, and that is by grace through faith in Jesus. It's his work that counts. It's his work that matters. We're either going to rely on his work or we're going to rely on ours. And he's saying, hey, if you're going to rely on yours, then there's no way to be saved.
Tracy, good to hear from you. We're out of time, but I want to hear from you again, so keep listening and give us a call when we can help. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel, and thanks to all of you who support Basic Gospel with your prayers and with your gifts. They are what make it possible for us to be here every weekday with the message of grace in Jesus Christ. And to say thanks for your support, we have a copy of Andrew Farley's insightful book called God Without Religion for you. Just be sure to request your copy when you make your gift at basicgospel.net. A quick reminder also, we're only 8 days away from the United Conference with Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, and if you haven't registered yet, we want you to do that. BasicGospel.net/United is where you need to log on to register, and we want to see you at the conference just starting actually a week tomorrow, and it's going to be a wonderful time. Well, now for Bob Christopher, we invite you to be back again tomorrow, and I'll be here too, and we hope you will. See you then. Bye-bye.